In 1 John chapter number 2, I want to read verses 1 through 6 here this morning for our opening text. It says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." Amen. You may be seated again this morning. I've used this portion of Scripture, and I've preached from this portion of Scripture, but I'm going a different direction here this morning, and I want to point your attention to verse number 6. "And he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." And the title this morning is simply "The Mountains of Jesus." Now, in our Christian life and our Christian walk, a lot of times we talk about mountains and we talk about valleys and talk about the mountaintops and then the high times on the mountaintops and then the valleys, the low times, and amen. But, you know, we got to be careful, because really, in reality, for the child of God, whether you're on the mountaintop or whether you're in the valley, you still got the same joy. You still got the same peace, and you still have the same power, and you still have the same praise. Woo, praise God. But a lot of times we depict it, well, I'm down and I'm low and I'm in the valley. Well, I'm sorry, if you're down and you're low, then you're not really walking to the capacity Christ wants you to walk, even when you're in the valley. Praise God. You see, there is a place, and the Lord spoke that this morning. There's a place hid in that cleft of the rock, hid in Christ. Not I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. Praise God. These are the truths of the kingdom of God. But the mountains of Jesus, in other words, John is telling us that if he's in us, then we're going to walk even as he walked. Now, it doesn't say we're going to walk even as he is walking, because he's glorified. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's back to knowing the beginning from the end. Hallelujah. He's back to making intercession for you and me. Amen. You ever wondered why he has to pray for us? Woo! I don't wonder. I know. I know why he has to pray for us, because we're still flesh. We're still human. And we still sometimes live way below what he wants to do for us, because we just won't press ourselves to that place. See, that's the whole reason we live below anything God wants for us, is that we won't press ourselves to get there. Amen. You know, we use that proverbial, you know, well, what if I had $1 million here for you? How hard would you want to get up out of your chair to get it? And of course, now it's not that effective anymore, because that's an illustration. It ain't really real. And well, no, everybody's imagination is pretty dull in these days and hour. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, because in reality, if I had $1 million, would you want it if you could have it? I mean, we got all kinds of people doing all kinds of things to gain money. People go and buy lottery tickets because they want money. They'll go to the casinos. Why? Why do you go to a casino? Well, the whole goal to go to a casino is what? To win money. I'm not advocating that at all. I'm totally against it. I mean, there's a way to have money. It's called work. Amen. It's called work. It's called being wise with the resources God has given you. Also, frugal. Anybody heard that word? These aren't in my notes yet, but it's just all part of the kingdom of God and walking as he walked, and the reality of how bad do I desire, or how much do I desire, to really walk the way Jesus walked. You see, this is the dilemma of the hour. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but most individuals that I encounter, they don't really have a desire for God. We got folks in church that don't really even have a desire for God. I mean, you know, it's just, it's the last days. It's perilous times. And there is more who don't have a desire for God than there is that do. And a lot of times, majority peer pressure wins in the lives of individuals. But the reality that I want to try to bring forth this morning is there are things that I'm going to have to encounter in life, whether I want to or not, that if I want to walk, even as he walked, because there is something that I've got to realize that happens when I begin to walk as he walked. Now tell me, did Jesus walk in power? Was Jesus sinless? Do not attribute that to the fact that he was the Son of God, because he came and walked as a man. He was not sinless because he was the Son of God. He was sinless because he was the Son of Man surrendered to the Father. Now, that's an age-old question. I don't want to debate it with you, but you got to realize there'd be no boast that you can overcome because he's overcome if he hadn't overcome. Hello. I mean, you know, you don't have to have a rocket scientist degree to know that. Amen. There's a stipulation there. Overcoming. Decisions. Choices. And so to walk as he walked, I'm going to have to start making choices like he made. Number one. The mountains of Jesus. First mountain I want to talk about here this morning is the Mount of Temptation. Jesus had it, didn't he? Bible gives us a record of it in Matthew chapter 4, verse number 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he afterward was hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh up to the holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it's written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You'd think the devil would have gave up, but he didn't, did he? And the devil taketh him up to exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. The Mount of Temptation. You're going to face it. And you're going to walk as Jesus walked. You're going to face the mountain of temptation. You're going to face the enemy coming against the lust of your flesh, the lust of your eyes, and the pride of your life. These are the three areas that Jesus was tempted in right here in Matthew chapter number 4. This is the record that is given. This is why the enemy didn't give up the first time. Because he knew that there are three areas that man is vulnerable in. Some may not fall to the lust of the flesh, but that pride of life is a big problem for them. And so we see that's why the enemy didn't stop. He didn't give up. And actually, in other accounts, it says he just left for a season. Woo! You see, you're going to be tested. You're going to be tried. You're going to be tempted. Hallelujah. This is why you're going to need the power of the Holy Ghost. This is why you're going to need that closer relationship with God. This is why you're going to need to be able to go into the presence of the Lord and have the Word of God revealed wonderfully to your heart and to your soul, to where it's written in your heart, not just in your head. Because when it's just in your head, it's going to get boggled up and it's not going to control your heart. But if it's written in your heart, it's going to control your head. Hallelujah. It's going to control your life. It's going to control your doings. Praise be to our God. And so that mount of temptation, you're going to face it when you walk as Jesus walked. When you commit yourself to the Lord and you want Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Hallelujah. Not just having that head knowledge about Jesus, but I mean getting serious about committing yourself unto the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior and to be your Lord. And to begin to fulfill His will for your life, you're going to be in the place of temptation. A lot of people say, well, man, I don't know if I want to surrender to the Lord then if I go to that temptation. Well, temptation's going to be better than hell. Hallelujah. Woo! You see, that's a whole wrong mind frame. Fearful. Well, what if this? What if? I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. We got to grab a hold of the Word and let the Word dominate our minds. Hallelujah, in our actions. It's not a matter, is the enemy going to attack me if I give more to Jesus? Yes, he is. Is he going to attack me if I don't give more to Jesus? Yes, he is. So you might as well give more to Jesus and defeat the enemy. Hallelujah. We got to understand that there's only one way to win in the game of Christianity, and that is to fight the fight of faith and lay hold of eternal life, not just hope the devil will go away, as he ain't. Hallelujah. No, he's not going to stop until he's put in that lake of fire. And so we see then the mount of temptation, it's going to come your way when you walk as Jesus walked. Think it not a strange thing, the fiery trial that has come upon you. You see, the mount of temptation, Jesus Christ was filled with the Spirit of God, the River Jordan. And immediately, the Spirit led him in the wilderness, and there he was tempted. Wow. See, that's why he was filled with the Spirit of God, because the time of testing was coming. Woo! Praise God. If you haven't calculated it out yet and understand it yet, if you wanted to put it into a mathematical equation, I mean, you got to realize that without the Spirit of God, you don't have power. You shall receive power after the Spirit has come upon you. You back up, okay? Bump, bump, bump. You shall receive power. Wait a minute, can't have that if the Spirit doesn't come upon you. So no Spirit, no power, no power, no victory, no victory, no walking as Jesus walked. I mean, sometimes we've got to kind of really bring it down. It goes over our heads sometimes. We think we can just eliminate some of the steps that Jesus took, because they're not convenient for us. They don't seem relevant to us. We're not persuaded why. Hello. Has anybody been there besides me before I got filled with the Holy Ghost? Praise God. I mean, those are natural phenomenons of a believer that's not filled with the Spirit of God. I've been there. I've walked there, but they're not the steps of Jesus. They're not walking as Jesus walked. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus came to the River Jordan, and John said, I don't need to baptize you. You need to baptize me. But what did Jesus say? He said, no, let it be done to fulfill all things. See, Jesus fulfilled every step of God's great plan of salvation. And I got to walk as he walked. That means I've got to fulfill every step of God's great plan of salvation. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. I mean, this is the glorious thing about God's plan of salvation. It's got steps. And even if you're going to take baby steps, that's wonderful. Hallelujah. But you got to move. You got to move. You can't just stay in one spot and expect to grow into the fullness of what Christ wants to do in our lives. But the mount of temptation, and you're going to find as we go through these mountains, and you may think it's a broke record, but you're going to find that at every one of these mountains, the Spirit of God was wholly involved. Right here at the first mountain, the mountain of temptation, it was the Spirit of God that it came upon Jesus that he could go into this mount of temptation, that he could overcome. What did he overcome with? Did anyone catch what he overcomes with? I mean, this is really kind of old news to anybody that's been in church for a long time, but he overcame by the Word of God in its proper context. You know, the enemy was using God's Word, but he was using it in an out of context way, trying to persuade Jesus to do something wrong, even by using the Word to do it. We got multitudes that are doing that today. Oh, yeah. They know just enough about the Word of how to get you messed up and confused in your mind. But the Word is truth. And when it's coupled with the Spirit of God, then it will be put in its proper place. And you will be victorious against the lies of the enemy. Hallelujah. And once again, the key factor to this overcoming the mount of temptation and walking this road, this journey, amen, hallelujah, and answering what did they know? Jesus knew he was going to face the tempter. And he knew that all needed to be fulfilled for him to face the tempter. And that's why he was baptized in the River Jordan, filled with the Spirit of God, moving right on to the next step in the will of the Father for Jesus Christ. Wow. This is awesome. I could stay here and preach on one step, and I got six of them. I got to move on. Amen. Praise God. The next mountain of Jesus Christ, he has overcome. He has overcome the tempter. He's overcome the devil on the mount of temptation. And now he moves in Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he sat, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. The mount of teaching. When you look at all these things that Jesus talked about, they're not real appealing to the natural man. Now, everybody likes to obtain mercy, but a lot of folks don't like to show it. But Jesus is saying, blessed are the merciful, not those getting mercy, those that show mercy. Anybody in here besides myself ever found it difficult to show mercy to someone? Yeah, but Jesus said, blessed are the merciful. Well, now he wasn't asking or talking about anything that he wasn't doing. Because he had now come. And he came bringing grace and truth. And everything he began to share is what the Father had taught him. And he began to share it with the disciples. And so the next mountain you're going to encounter is the mountain of teaching. When it begins to show me my ways of error. Yeah. My way of being a peacemaker. Does everybody know how to be a peacemaker? That means zip your lip. Right in the middle of it. Choose wisely the battles you want to encounter and the adversity you want to bring into your life. And the best way to do that is zip the lip. Amen. Don't say it. Don't think you have to say it. Well, yeah, but it's the truth. Well, just keep the truth to yourself this time. And it will save yourself some adversity. Because there are times, even though it's truth, they ain't ready for it. They don't need to hear it right now. It's not the right timing. Woo! Teaching. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. I'm just going to throw this in here this morning. I mean, if you encountered someone and someone came right up to you and said, can you show me how to be saved? Can you show them how to be saved? Can you share enough scripture with them to persuade them that Jesus Christ died for their sins? I mean, do you have enough confidence in your own heart and in your soul of your salvation so that you can lead someone else to theirs? Teaching. The amount of teaching. Hallelujah. Reading God's word. Listening to God's word. A heart for God's word. The amount of teaching. Hallelujah. I mean, Jesus, everywhere he went, he began to teach his disciples of every encounter that they had with the Pharisees or if it was with sinners. He was always teaching, always sharing the goodness of God and the truths of God. Is that where you're at in your walk with God? Are you teachable this morning? Hello. Praise God. Don't misunderstand me, but you know, there's that old saying that you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And we use that as a crutch and an excuse for sometimes the way we behave. Well, this is just the way I've been all my life. If it's not a good way, you shouldn't have been that way all your life. Woo, especially if you're a Christian. But what is that? That's a lack of the step of teaching. I have found in my own personal life, and I've found it in the lives of others that I've counseled with and talked to over the years, that folks don't mind teaching as long as they agree with it. But a lot of times the teaching of the Word of God doesn't always agree with what you think. Well, I just don't see it that way. Well, what other way is there to see? Be merciful. Tell me now, what can you not see about that? Well, yeah, but you just don't know what they did. Oh, my. Don't talk to me about that. Go talk to Jesus. Tell me where he was treated kind all the time. Tell me where everybody loved him all the time. Tell me where, when he shared truth, everybody just loved it. No, actually, he got down to the bottom of this and says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. He says, rejoice in persecution. That's when people don't believe what you believe and they get belligerent about it. That's persecution. We got heavy persecution going on in America towards Christianity. We do. Yeah, because of our righteous beliefs. And it is. It's just outright rebellion against truth. And they're malicious about it. It says rejoice. Be exceeding glad. That means you're doing something right. When you're doing something right, it's going to bring persecution from the enemy. Teaching, the amount of teaching. Hallelujah. A lot of times we don't understand these things are coming because of our stand for God. But you see, there's once again the battleground. Okay, well, I'm not going to stand in that area then because it's going to bring persecution. It's coming anyway. Because the enemy comes to steal and to kill and destroy. And if he can get you to the place where you don't want to stand for righteousness, he's got you. Oh, he's got you. Because you're afraid of persecution? Sorry. It's coming. If you're going to be a Christian. Now, if you don't want to be a Christian, that's fine. But hell is your waiting place. I just want you to understand that. You gotta weigh it all out. It's not a matter as you choose, okay, well, I want to be this part of Christian. Or I want to be this. No. Either you're going to be a Christian or you're going to hell. Whichever one you want. The choice is always yours. It's not mine. I can't send anyone to hell. Only person I can send to hell is me. And I'll do that by rejecting Jesus Christ, his truths, and standing for him. If I won't stand up for him, then he won't stand up for me. That's just his words. That's not mine. You see, we got to understand. We got to get the right mind frame here. You're either going to have to get in or go ahead and tell everybody, you're out. I'm out. I'm just not going for this. If you're not going for it, then don't go for it. But just realize, hell is your home. That's what comes with that. So then you got to choose you who you're going to serve this day. You're going to serve the devil or you're going to serve God. That's your choice. But just know, if you serve God, there's benefits and there's power. There's love, there's joy, there's peace, and there's heaven. But if you choose not to serve the Lord, then there is devil and hell. And he'll take you farther than you want to go. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. And you'll end up in the lake of fire with him. Wow. Who would make that choice? Multitudes do, sad to say. But as for me and my house, we're going to choose to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. And we're going to walk as Jesus walked, and we're going to be taught as Jesus taught his word. Hallelujah. Number three, Matthew 17:1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them to the high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Praise God. That Mount of Transfiguration. That glory of God. That power of God. That Spirit of God. Hallelujah. You see, this is not the first time somebody's face shone. Go back to the Old Testament, you find that Moses was on the mount in the presence of God, and when he came down, his face was shining. Whew. You've heard that expression, well, they can see it on your face. They can. You come out of the presence of God, people are going to see it on your face. It's just, you can't hide it. I mean, when people are happy, tell me, can they hide happiness? I've never seen anybody hide happiness. But if they're not happy, they can't hide that either. You can try to act like you're happy. It just doesn't, it doesn't show. It's not the same. Uh-uh. But when you're happy, you're happy. You're just happy. You know, I mean, I don't know what you do when you get happy. Maybe you don't do anything when you get happy. I don't know. But most folks do something if they're really happy, you know, because you just can't hide it. If you're happy, you're happy. If you're not, you're not. I mean, and it's going to show too. Praise God. And I'm sorry. But it's kind of funny and very, very different when you look out here across this congregation. Because sometimes you can see who's happy and who's not. Woo! Praise God. You can see who's awake and who's asleep too. I mean, you can just see all kinds of things when you're standing up there looking out there. And when you're one doing the preaching and the teaching, I don't guess I've ever fell asleep preaching. I doubt if I ever will, you know. I mean, I've fought it down here when I'm sitting here listening to somebody else preach. Yeah, and trust me, I fight it. I don't want to fall asleep on a preacher because I don't want anybody to fall asleep on me. So I've got to set the example. Praise God. But, you know, I mean, it's just, you can't hide. I mean, anybody knows me, has been around me very long, and somebody comes up with an idea, and I just kind of go, you'll know I don't like it. But it doesn't mean I won't think about it. It's just when I first hear it, I'm thinking, I don't know about that. I just, you know, you always have that facial expression. How many have that facial expression when you get caught doing something that you shouldn't be doing? I'm really not sure what mine is for that. She probably knows more about it than I do. But, you know, I mean, every one of your kids have got an expression or something they do when they get caught with, per se, their hand in the cookie jar. And they're just kind of like, you know, they have some type of sheepish look or grin or pout, you know. I mean, just your face. The Mount of Transfiguration. It's the steps of Jesus Christ. It's the way that he walked. He had a relationship with the Father that he could go right into his presence. Woo! Hallelujah. And when he came out of his presence, his face glowed. In other words, there was a change. There was a difference. There was a power. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. This is for the believers. This is for you and I. These are the steps of Jesus Christ. This is the way that he walked. This is the power that he had. Hallelujah. In the presence of the Father. And the Father even speaking forth of who he was and how he was well pleased. And yet from the Mount of Transfiguration, we move to the Mount of Prayer. Hallelujah. Then cometh Jesus with them to the place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Set ye here while I go and pray yonder. And I want to move right down to verse 41 for the sake of time this morning. It said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Typically, or just generally, the word watch, hang on, stay awake. That's what the main meaning of the word watch is stay awake, stay awake, watch. You know, I mean, that's what it's talking about. It's talking about a watchman. You know, a watchman's supposed to what? Stay awake. I mean, you know, woo, stay awake, stay awake. If the preacher's preaching, stay awake. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. Hello, I'm talking about prayer. When you're praying, stay awake. Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. That lets me know that lack of watching and lack of prayer automatically is going to bring things my way to get me off track out of the way Jesus would walk. I'll fall to be walking the way I would walk, the way man would walk, the way humanity would walk. And of course, that's why the reference to the flesh is there. The spirit is willing. In other words, I know it's right. But what am I going to do about making it right in me? What am I going to do? You just got to realize that there's a will, there's a way. Amen. I don't know if you've ever noticed it or not. Probably everybody has. But if I'm sitting in here and one of the other preachers is preaching, and I start doing this, you know what I'm doing? Watching. What am I doing? I'm keeping myself awake. I mean, hey, if you feel the sleep coming on you, do something. Get up, run around the building. Whatever you got to do to stay awake. Because sometimes you're going to miss what you need to hear if you're asleep. That right. Woo! Yeah, I've even seen Jonathan's eyes droop a time or two. Hey, it's real. Mine have too. How many, when you're driving down the highway and you start getting sleepy, you're just going to give way to it, right? I mean, I say the joke. I mean, I do my best driving when I'm asleep, but it is a joke, church. I mean, now, what do you do if you're driving down the highway and you're falling asleep? I mean, what are some of the things you do? Roll down that window. Oh, stick your hand out there and let that air blow right in your face. Did you know if you stick your hand out there, the air blow right in your face? You crank up the music. I mean, what do you do? You're trying. You know you got to stay awake. Woo! You see, you can do things. And that's what Jesus said. It's the Mount of Prayer. He's over here praying. He's praying, not my will, thy will be done. You see, we sometimes can't get deep enough into prayer to hit that point. And we never get God's will being done in our lives. Because we can never hit that place of prayer like Jesus hit the place of prayer. See, the Mount of Prayer is not something that's easy. It's not something that's convenient. And it's not something that is really desirable according to the natural man. It is another place of death, but yet also life. You'll find anything that's death to self is a life to the spiritual man. Amen. So here's the Mount of Prayer. We're talking about walking as Jesus walked. We're talking about following the steps of Jesus Christ, living the way he lived. Hallelujah. He was a man that endured temptation. He was a man that endured teaching and followed teaching and became a teacher. And he was a man that was in the presence of the Father. And he was a man of prayer to the place God's will could be done. That's what prayer is all about, church. Prayer is also for supplication. It's also for you and I to take our needs to the Lord. But the most important part of prayer is so I can get to the place where I can say, not my will, but thy will be done. Hallelujah. And number five, the Mount of Triumph. John 19:30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. In Luke 23:46, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Amen. These scriptures give us some wonderful truths to the fact that they didn't take Jesus' life. He gave it. He gave his life for the sins of the world. It was the Mount of Triumph, Mount Calvary, the place of the skull. You ever wondered why they called it the place of the skull? I've just heard different teachings on it or thoughts on it. But for some reason, they called it the place of the skull. And what I've read, different ones that talked about it according to Jewish thought on it, it was the place where Goliath's head finally wound up when they were done with it. Just out on the side of a hill. And it became known as the place of the skull. Because that's where David's defeated foe, that's where his skull wound up. And that seems kind of fit because that's the same mountain where Jesus Christ gave the death blow to sin and death and hell. Wow. The enemy of man. Glory. You don't tell me God don't do things on purpose. Hallelujah. Glory. There's not one jot or tittle in God's word that is not important. That's why we want all of it. That's why we're King James Version. We want the jots and the tittles. We want it all. Hallelujah. But it was a mountain of triumph. And you and I are not going to give our lives for the sins of the world. But we are going to give our lives for sinners. We have to. Or there will be none saved. I have to follow Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Hallelujah. That's how I'm going to win the lost, because I have become crucified with Christ. Death to the old man, and begin to walk in that newness of life. That's how I'm going to win the lost to Jesus Christ. We're all headed for our own Calvary. We're all headed for our own Mount of Triumph. Hallelujah. And our Mount of Triumph is not just going to be a one-time thing. It will be a continual triumph over ourselves. Yeah. Hallelujah. There are times we have to literally put ourselves back on that cross with Jesus Christ. It's called revival. That's what revival is all about. Revival is not just feeling good about everything. Revival is when I put myself back on that cross with Jesus Christ. And it will bring joy. Hallelujah. And it'll bring peace. And it'll bring power. And it will bring revival in me. Hallelujah. To be back into the warfare. And to back into the fight of faith. And contending for the faith once delivered to the saints. Hallelujah. It will put it all back in action in my life again. Praise God. The Mount of Triumph. And I'm going to close here this morning with Acts chapter 1, verse 11. Each one of these events happened around a mountain. They did. In Acts 1 and 11, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." The Mount of Promise. That Mount of Ascension. The promise that was given that he's come back just like he left. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus Christ told his disciples, "I'm going away to prepare you a place. And if I go away to prepare you a place, I'm coming back to take you there." This is the truths of Jesus Christ. This is the way Jesus walked. You've got to believe in the rapture of the church. If you don't believe in the rapture of the church, then you're telling me you really don't believe in Jesus. Because Jesus is the one that told us he was coming back. And if I'm going to walk as he walked, then I'm going to have to walk with that hope living in me. But you see, if you don't have that hope, all you're telling me is you haven't been born again yet. Because that born again experience is what births that hope in me. Because that born again experience is what births Jesus Christ in me. Amen. And this is Jesus, the blessed hope. Hallelujah. That Mount of Promise. Glory to God. You see in Genesis 5 and 24, "And Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him." And so in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 5, we get a little bit more talked about Enoch. "By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony." There's that testimony that he pleased God. So in Hebrews, we get a little more expounding on Genesis chapter 5 and 24. I mean, chapter 5 verse 24 is just pretty blunt point. Enoch walked with God and was not, God took him. But in Hebrews chapter 5, we get a little more insight on why God took him. Wow. If you will, this morning, even though Enoch was before Jesus Christ, it's because Enoch walked as Jesus would walk. Woo. And God took him. And you mean God took somebody that didn't die? Well, he sure did, didn't he? We just simply call it a different name. It's called the rapture to us believers. The catching away of the bride. Because it's not something that hasn't happened before. Enoch was translated. He was taken away. Elijah was taken away in a whirlwind and fiery chariot. And the church is just going to be caught away by the power of the Holy Ghost. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise God. Even Jude makes a reference to Enoch. "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds, that they which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Enoch, in Genesis chapter number 5, that's the same Enoch, talked about the coming of the Lord and coming with his saints to bring judgment. Do you know what's going to happen when the church is gone? Judgment. Judgment. Judgment's going to fall. It's going to begin to fall in a 7-year period. It's going to be 7 years of judgment. You don't want to be around for 7 years of judgment. There's no reason you need to be. Woo! Because you can walk as Jesus walked and have that blessed hope, knowing that he's coming for his saints. That we're not appointed unto wrath. We're not appointed unto the judgment of the ungodly. But we're appointed unto salvation through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And you see, the reality is that I'm saved through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. His triumphant work on Calvary, his precious blood. Glory to our God. That opened up the throne room of the Heavenly Father. Praise God. Who could then send the Holy Ghost to take me there. Glory. Glory. So that I'd be ready. I would be ready when that trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air with them to meet the Lord in the air to forever be with the Lord. Walk even as he walked. Every step does count, church. Every step I take is just another step closer to being everything Jesus wants me to be. Every step I take. Just don't be taking steps backwards. Always take steps forward. Hallelujah. Sister Pepper, would you come?